Good afternoon. Hope you're having a great Friday. Let's take a look at what's making news here on KCOB. A 36-year-old Newton man who rolled his car while fleeing a traffic stop in early August has been sentenced to 90 days in jail. Matthew Allen Backler pleaded guilty to eluding over 25 miles per hour above the speed limit. He was sentenced by District Associate Judge Stephen Huerta and will serve the jail time simultaneous with a prison sentence that has him incarcerated at the medium security Clarinda Correctional Facility. On Saturday, August 3rd, around 12:30 in the morning, Newton officer initiated a traffic stop on North 19th Avenue West for registration and equipment violations, but the police reports his Backler did not pull over and continued driving on West 4th Street North and then Highway F-36 West, running the stop sign at Highway 14. After reaching speeds in excess of 100 miles per hour, Backler reportedly turned north off of Highway F-36 and onto West 48th Street North, then lost control, causing his vehicle to roll into the east ditch. Officers claim Backler attempted to run away on foot, but voluntarily stopped when an officer ordered him to. He was then taken into custody without further incident. A domestic altercation at a Newton home in the 900 block West 3rd Street South last night ended with both the man and woman involved facing identical charges. According to police, 24-year-old Brittany Ann Johnson and 32-year-old Eric Duran Almanza Lopez have each been charged with domestic assault causing injury. The arrest reports as Almanza Lopez called police to the home, claiming a meth head was trying to choke him. When officers arrived, they discovered Almanza Lopez and Johnson both had minor injuries. They each claimed the other initiated the physical confrontation, which allegedly involved Almanza Lopez pushing Johnson's head into a wall and her punching him in the face. Officers noted Johnson had a bump on the back of her head and a bruise on one breast, while Almanza Lopez sustained a cut to his left ring finger. Officers said they could not determine who was the main instigator of the altercation, so both were charged. There was a potentially explosive situation on the Grinnell College campus yesterday afternoon. The Grinnell Fire Department says shortly before 2:30, Grinnell College Associate Director of Emergency Management notified the Grinnell Fire Department that a potentially hazardous chemical had been located in the Noyce Science Center. Grinnell College campus safety secured the area around the chemical, and the State Fire Marshal's Office Bomb Squad was called in for assistance. The chemical, diethyl ether, has the potential to become shock-sensitive and explosive if it's dried up. And since the age and condition of the chemical could not be safely determined, a plan was made to remove the chemical to an outside location. Special agent, bomb technicians packaged the chemical for transport, and the fire department says it was taken to a safe location on the college campus where a controlled detonation was held. The all-clear of the Noyce Science Building was given at 5:35 last night, while the detonation area was cleared around 6:40. Assisting the Grinnell Fire Department was Grinnell College Campus Security, Grinnell Police, Powhatan County Sheriff's Office, Grinnell Street Department, the State Fire Marshal Office Bomb Squad, and CARE Ambulance. With last week's passage of a $12 million bond issue with 77% support from the voters, administrators of the Colfax Mingo School District have put out a projected timeline for the new 1,200-seat stadium and the new football field and track. Now through May, will include work on design plans. In May, June, and July, bids will be sought, received, and opened, and a contract will be awarded to the lowest reputable bidder. Work on the stadium, projected to begin next August, will be finished in August 2021. The bond revenue is also going to be used for a new three-mat wrestling room and a new weight and fitness room. These projects are the first step in what Superintendent Eric Anderson calls a three-phase, 15-year-ish plan to improve all district facilities in Colfax and Mingo. Anderson, in his first year as a Colfax Mingo superintendent, and notes passage of the bond referendum is an exciting start to his superintendency.
Yeah, it's been exciting. A lot of changes right away, which is good. You know, anytime you step in and you get to be a part of something new like this with a bond, that's exciting. And it's been a very extremely welcoming district, and especially the neighboring superintendents have been very helpful as well in reaching out to, you know, anything I need to bounce an idea off them or anything at all. It's been great.
Colfax Mingo School Board chose Anderson to follow Jim Verlinge as the district superintendent February 28th. He started the job July 1st and is being paid a salary of $140,000. This week's canvas of the November 5th election results by the Jasper County Board of Supervisors featured a drawing to determine the mayor's race in Sully. County Auditor Dennis Parrott says after the canvas, Brett Vandermolen and Gordon Yarrington were tied with 39 votes each.
The Board of Supervisors drew out Gordon Yarrington's name. So Gordon Yarrington will be declared the winner. If Gordon doesn't want to take it, it goes to the next high vote getter. I would imagine then that's Vandermolen. If Brent doesn't want it, then it'll be considered a vacancy and the council will appoint the person that they want to hold the office.
At that point, Sully residents could challenge that appointment by getting enough signatures on a petition calling for a special election. That petition, according to Parrott, would have to be filed within 10 days of the appointment. In funeral announcements, a military committal service for Larry Shepard of rural Newton will be held 9:30 in the morning Monday at the Iowa Veterans Cemetery in Van Meter. Family going to greet friends from 2 to 4 this Sunday at Wallace Family Funeral and Crematory. Lieu of flowers, memorials in honor of Larry Shepard may be made to Jasper County Animal Rescue League. You can leave those at Wallace Family Funeral Home. Larry Shepard passed away at the age of 65. Funeral service for Carol Fance of Grinnell, who passed away at the age of 86, set for 11 a.m. Saturday at Smith Funeral Home in Grinnell. Interment, Hazelwood Cemetery in Grinnell. Visitation for Carol Fance will be held prior to the service tomorrow at Smith Funeral Home from 10 a.m. until the 11 o'clock service time. Memorials to be designated to BGM Bear Closet or to the Grinnell Newberg Dollars for Scholars. Mail is in Kara Smith Funeral Home, P.O. Box 368, Grinnell, Iowa 50112. Memories and condolences may be shared with Carol's family online at www.smithfh.com. And a memorial gathering for Dorothy Holcomb of Grinnell, who passed away at the age of 66 on Wednesday, will be held 9 a.m. to noon next Saturday, November 30th, at Smith Funeral Home in Grinnell. Memorials on Dorothy Holcomb to PALS, Poweshiek Animal League Shelter, mail those in care of Smith Funeral Home, P.O. Box 368, Grinnell, Iowa 50112. Memories and condolences may be shared with Dorothy's family online at www.smithfh.com. That is your noontime check of area news and funeral announcements here on KCOB. I'm Randy Vann.